Well, welcome everybody. The Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So I want to call you, wherever you are at, to come and worship our God as we sing these prayers together, these songs of praise, to make all of our lives out about His glory. Let's do it together. I want to make,
oh, I want to make my life all about Your glory. I want to spend my days telling the world Your story. In everything I do, in everything I say, following after You, oh, giving You thanks and praise. I want to make my life all about Your honor, morning, noon, and night. My best I want to offer in everything I do.
So I pray, oh God,
in everything I say, following after You, oh, giving You thanks and praise.
So this is our prayer. Make me an instrument.
Make me an instrument. Make me a song of praise. Make me a shining light that radiates Your ways. Make me a masterpiece. Lord, put me on display that I may ever be a picture of Your grace. I want to make my life all about Your glory. I want to spend my days telling the world Your story. In everything I do,
everything I say,
everything I say, following after You, oh, giving You thanks and praise. I want to make my life
all about Your honor,
oh, morning, noon, and night. My best I want to offer in everything I do,
everything I say. Today, let's sing this part. Your glory, Your honor.
Oh, Your glory, Your honor. That's what I want my life to be all about. Your goodness, Your kindness, Your life in me ever reaching out. Your mercy, forgiveness. That's what I want my life to be all about. Your loving, Your power, Your life in me ever reaching out. Your glory, Your honor. Clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. For who can stop the Lord?
Let's declare it together, our God. So open up the gates.
So open up the gates. Make way before the King of Kings. Our God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. Oh,
So we sing, who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Who can stop?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Let's take it up. Who can stop? Well, welcome everyone to Christian Assembly. So glad that you're with us and that you're worshiping with us. I just want to mention to everybody here, just glad that you're with us today and that you're choosing to be with us. And I want to say especially also, well, not especially, but also to those that are worshiping with us online, we see you. Well, we kind of see you. We see the camera in the back of the room, but we wave at you. We say hello. But there are people that are worshiping in living rooms and in bedrooms and in coffee shops, and they're joining this online service as well. So we see you. Thank you for being with us. Whether you've been here for many years or this is your first time, I want to say welcome. And especially those that might be here for the very first time, we want to add our welcome to yours. We want to get to know you a little bit. And there's a few easy ways that you can help us to follow up with you. One is there's a connection card right in the seat back in front of you. You can grab that connection card and fill that out and drop it in the offering bag as it comes around a little bit. And we're going to follow up with you and get to know a little bit more about you, tell you about great things that are happening here at Christian Assembly. Otherwise, you can also go to the lobby. There's a new people's table out there as well, and you can grab that new people's table. At that new people's table, somebody will meet you and say hello. We just want to say thank you to everyone for continuing to wear your mask. We appreciate it, and we just wanted to say thank you for that on this evening. Well, partnership class is starting on Sunday, January 23rd. So whether you have been part of our church for just a brief while or for a long time, but you've never attended the partnership class, we would love to invite you to attend the partnership class. Like I said before, it begins on Sunday, January 23rd. And there's details on our website and in your bulletin. There's also cards that are in the seat back in front of you that you can use to register. So you can grab one of those cards. It says partnership right on it. You can fill out that card. You can drop that in the offering bag in a moment. And that way we can get you registered for the class. Breakfast is provided. It's just really a great way to make Christian Assembly your church and make this a place of belonging for you. Another great way that you can jump into belonging is by joining a 10-week life group. We have 10-week life groups that will be starting up soon, the week of January 31st. And there are groups for men, for women, co-ed groups, and for young adults. So whatever season of life you happen to be in, we have a group for you. And so I would encourage you to jump in to a 10-week life group. The winter session of Women's Bible Study is also starting up this week. And so super excited for that. I know Coley is super excited, and a lot of other women are excited with Coley.
I think they're excited, Coley. I think they're excited. You know, study, join in and study God's word with other women. You can register your children to attend online, register online for your for childcare, not to attend online, but you can register your children. You know what I mean. Women's Bible study, starting, go to it. Thrive Ministries offering classes to promote emotional health for anyone that might be affected by issues of family of origin or lots of other great topics that are going to be starting up. And so you can go online and see the full list of classes, and you can register for our Thrive Growth classes. And Tom already mentioned this, but on this weekend, we do pause to remember the legacy and honor the life of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. We especially want to honor him for his faith in Jesus Christ, his legacy, and his influence as he influences us to fight for biblical justice for folks of any color and any ethnicity, right? And so we honor his life. And so today, we just want to take a moment to applaud his life. And so would you join me in applauding his life? Well, in just a moment, we're going to have a chance to continue worshiping God through the giving of our tithes and offerings. But I want to read 1 Chronicles 29, 11 and 12, where it says, "Everything in heaven and earth is yours, O Lord. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things." So we want to say thank you for your ongoing generosity. If this is your first time, feel no obligation to give. But to the rest of you, may you be blessed as you give, either here in the service or online through our app or through our website as well. So ushers, you can come forward, and we're gonna ask the Lord to bless this time with prayer. So, Father, we thank you for this worship service. And now that we get to participate in worship through the giving of our tithes and offerings, we ask that you would bless those as well. Whether we give online, whether we give through the app or here in the service, Lord, we just pray that you would bless each and every person that's able to give. Father, we have already prayed for it, but we ask that you would bless those ministries that are starting up, the women's Bible study, the students' ministries, Lord, and all of the rest, kids' church, Lord. Father, would your hand be upon each and every one of those areas, and may you be glorified through that, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Well, again, let me add my welcome to you, particularly to those of you online. If you're a visitor guest, my name is Tom. What an honor and a privilege to have you here with us. And those of you who track me down on social media from Canada, I want to say welcome. I'm so glad that you're with us as well as we jump into this series. You've already heard it announced for those of you that are here in this space, but I want to encourage you to do partnership. If you're new to the church, maybe you've been around for a long time, what I can tell you about partnership is it will accelerate your sense that this church isn't something you come to. It's a family that you belong in. And so it'll help you with that one, encourage you to do that. Well, true story from a few years ago. Some of you will remember this. We did a campaign of generosity, and we made up these little business cards that just had this phrase on it that said, "A little something extra to show you that God cares about you." And I encouraged everybody to take some of the cards and then do some random act of generosity and then give the person the card in some way, shape, or form. Well, a woman wrote back and told me her story of doing that. And so she, true story, goes through the drive-thru and decides she's going to pay for the order of the person behind her. So she says to the cashier, "Hey, listen, I want to pay for the order of the person behind me." And the cashier kind of looks back and he says, "That big dude back there, you want to pay for his order?" And the CA person said, that's what I'd like to do. And he said, "Do you know that person back there?" And she said, "No, I don't know them, but I want to, whatever their order is, I want to pay for that." And the cashier said, "Why would you want to do that if you don't know the person back there?" And the CA person said, "Well, actually, I just want them to know that God loves them, and I just want to be generous, and I want you to give them this little card when he asks why it was paid for, so that he knows it was done as an act of generosity from God." The cashier asks another time, "Are you sure that you want to pay for that guy's order back there?" And the person said, "Yes." And the cashier said, "Okay. His order was $68.97. He got several buckets of chicken and all sorts of family meals." And the CA person told me, I thought inside, well, I can't back out now. I'm like committed now, right? I mean, I'm like, God's so generous and everything, but he's not $68 generous. I mean,
So I say to the cashier, okay, and to which the cashier says, nah, I was just kidding you. His order was only $7. And he went on and he said, I just wanted to see if there was a limit to your generosity. Let me ask you, what's the limit to your generosity? And why does it matter anyways? And why and how can you grow whatever that limit is for you, whatever that ceiling is for you, with God's help? We're going to consider that, but before we do, let's pray. God, we thank you for your overwhelming goodness to us. And I pray, Lord, for the spiritually convinced and spiritually unconvinced who are falling in these moments of the governance of my voice. I pray that the meditations of my heart would be pleasing in your sight, that you would use them from your word to not only touch our hearts, but to change our minds. Not only change our minds, but to change our will. For those, Lord, who are living out an abundant generosity, I pray, God, that you would encourage them from this message. For those who want to but are afraid, I pray that you would give them courage. For those who are cynical and have been hurt, I pray that you would bring healing. Speak to us from your word, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. On the way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, you can flip it over into this little center section. You'll see the teaching notes that are there for our time together, as well as the scriptures. Those of you online will also be able to track the scriptures through our website. We'll also have them come up as we read them. Well, today's message is really for those of you who would say or consider yourself to be a Christian. So if you're not a Christian, in some sense, I just want to let you know you're off the hook from this message, but I believe you'll certainly learn something from our time together. It might actually increase your curiosity of what would it look like for me to trust and live in the way that these people are talking about. Now, for those of us who say that we're followers of Jesus Christ, Christians, I believe that we should be the most generous people on the planet. Now, notice I didn't say richest. I said most generous. In Luke chapter 21, verse 1, we read this. While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in two small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. This poor widow has given more than all of the rest of them, for they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. Which brings me to the first point about generosity and the generosity that God wants us to have, which is this, is that biblically, you can be generous without being wealthy, and you can be wealthy without being generous. Jesus' words, there's both an affirmation and a challenge for us found in his words. The affirmation is for any of us who think, well, this message isn't for me. I don't make enough to be generous. And notice when Jesus observes this widow putting in the two small coins, she isn't commenting on the size of the offering. He's commenting on the proportion of the offering as well as the size of the faith and the heart and the trust in God that motivated this poor widow's offering. We can think things like this. Well, I'll be generous. I'll be more generous when I have more money. But really, that's not true. All the studies show that, at least in the United States, the wealthier we become, the smaller the percentage of our income we give away. No, instead of thinking I'll be more generous when I have more money, the truth of the matter is you'll be more generous, I'll be more generous when I have more faith. I've met people who we would all consider poor who are very generous. Likewise, I know people who make millions of dollars a year who are not very generous at all. Now, the challenge that we find in Jesus' words here, we heard the affirmation, but now the challenge is for those of us who are wealthier. And by the way, if you make minimum wage in the state of California, you're in the top 1% on the entire planet in terms of what your income is. Generosity in the Bible is measured by the proportion of our giving, not just by the dollar amount, which is why Jesus praises the widow who gave the most generous proportion, even though it was the smallest amount. And so here's the reality. If your income increases over the years, I mean, my income has increased from the time that I was a college student and even when I was a full-time seminary student. If your income has increased over the years, you can find yourself in this strange position where you are giving away more and more dollars, but if you sat down and calculated it, you're actually giving away a smaller and smaller percentage of your proportion of your income because your income is increasing faster than your generosity. So generosity is not about the dollar amount on the check. It's about the proportion of the income, the proportion of the amount compared to our total income. The second thing we would see biblically about generosity is this. Generosity begins with giving 10% of our income back to God. Now, the word tithe, every weekend we talk about tithes and offering. What's a tithe? The word tithe, it just means one-tenth or 10%. And sometimes, anytime I teach on generosity, I haven't taught on it in 3 years, but anytime I teach on it, I have people will say to me afterwards, oh, things must not be going well, our giving must be down. Is that why you're teaching on generosity, right? So let me just kind of calm everybody down here, okay? We had our largest December giving in the history of our church this past December. The previous largest December giving was December 2019. The December that we just came from, 2021, was $500,000 more in giving than our previous highest December, okay? So 33% higher. You all gave $1.9 million back to God in the month of December. Just in the month of December, you gave $1.9 million back to God. Think about that for a moment. That's like $65,000 a day that you're giving back to God in the month of December, okay? Our giving in 2021 was the highest ever in the history of our church in all 114 years. So I am not teaching this because the wheels are falling off on the giving. By the end of January, I'm going to give you a full accounting of it all, and I'll give you all the numbers. I'm not going to have time this weekend to do that. But I just want you to know, this isn't a coded message for you. We're teaching this because this is what God's Word says. After God leads the Israelites into the Promised Land, He tells them to be careful when their wealth increases. Here's what He says in Deuteronomy 8. Verses 17 and 18. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand has gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, so that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your ancestors, as He is doing today. Now, yes, if you have a job, I have a job, we work for our income, but God is the one who gives us the strength, the intelligence, the creativity, the opportunity, even the next breath for us to have in order to do any of that work. So literally everything we have comes from God. And God tells us in this passage to always remember the Lord when your wealth increases. You know, it's interesting, I've noticed when wealth increases in someone's life, they're more likely to drift from faith than whenever they lose their job. When they lose their job, they're like, God, I need you. When they get a big pay raise, they're like, I'm good. I've said this before, but we don't just give to a need. We humans have a need to give. Now, why do we have a need to give? Why? Because I would argue biblically and culturally, the chief competitor for your hope is not a match between God and Satan. It's a match between God and money. Most of us aren't walking around and saying, which is it? Is it Satan or God? I don't know. Who should I give my allegiance to? Halloween or Christmas? I don't know. Which way do I go? I'm confused. I'm really confused by this. But it's easy for us to get confused and begin to put our hope in money. God then commands us to give 10% of our income back to Him as an expression of our worship, of our trust, of our obedience. And if you believe that God, everything you have comes from God, then it's easy to give back 10%, right? If I said to you, I'm going to give you $1,000, but part of the deal is that after I hand you the $1,000, I'm going to ask you to give $100 back to me. Would you take that deal? Yes, every single person would take that deal. Malachi 3, 8 through 12 says it this way. We are both rebuked and given a promise. Here's what it says in verse 8 and on. Should people cheat God? God is speaking here. Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You've cheated me of the tithes. That's the one-tenth, the tithes. And notice, separate statement, and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. And here's some key words. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Now, when I teach on this, someone will say, Tom, why did you say that generosity begins at 10%? Because this passage makes clear that the first 10% is not me being generous. It's me being obedient to God's command. The first 10% is an obligation. It's due to God. That's why God says here, you're cheating me if you don't bring the whole 10% in. So if we trust God's generosity, we give him back the 10%, then he promises to pour out a blessing that's so great that you won't even be able to contain it. Now, most places in the Bible would tell us that you are not to put the Lord our God to the test. But this is one place in the Bible where God tells us to put him to the test, to try it out. Your harvest will be protected when you sow 10% back to God. Now, let me just address some common misconceptions or questions that people always have when it comes to this topic of tithing. Someone might ask, well, Tom, should I tithe? Should I calculate my tithe on my gross income or on my net income? I get that question all the time. So let me answer for it. Let me answer it for you. Do you want God's abundant blessing on your gross income or on your net income? Do you see that really underneath that question of is it the gross or the tithe is this fear? Like, what's the minimum I need to do in order to get God's blessing in case he doesn't really come through? See, if you really believe, if I really believe, then I'm not even asking that question, but my fear begins to well up. Well, maybe that works for other people, but I don't think it's going to work for me. So what's the minimum? I mean, I want to be on God's good side, but I'm a little bit nervous. Biblically, we are to tithe first. So I would say tithe on your gross income. Others would sometimes say things like this. Well, Tom, you know, I think tithing is legalistic, so that's why I don't do it. Okay, well, let me help you understand a few things here. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis, the first two examples of tithing predate the Mosaic Law, predate God ever giving the Ten Commandments. And so technically, for you to say it's legalistic, it actually happened prior to the law ever being established. So it's, by definition, can't just be legalistic. But if we examine it a little bit further, I don't think that type of thinking always makes sense where we think, well, tithing, isn't that an Old Testament thing? I'll come to that. It's not. But isn't that just an Old Testament thing? And we don't do the Old Testament stuff, right? Isn't that how it works? No, that's not actually true. Like, the Ten Commandments are still in effect. You know, it's funny. I've never had anybody come to me and say, you know, listen, I know God said in the Old Testament, do not murder, but I think it's kind of legalistic to think that way, so I'm totally fine with murdering people. I know he says, don't lie. I know he says, don't cheat on your spouse, but, you know, that was then, this is now, that's legalistic. I function under the covenant of grace, so God's totally fine with me cheating on my spouse all the time. Nobody ever says that. It's funny how we do this with money, but we don't do it in any of those other areas. Plus, Jesus himself affirmed, almost as a casual, of course you should be doing this. He says in Matthew 23:23, yes, you should tithe, but do not neglect the more important things. What are the more important things he's speaking of in context? Justice, mercy, and faith. Yes, you should tithe. And you should also do the more important things too. The third thing we see is this, is that God promises you will reap in proportion to what you give. Jesus says it this way, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure that you get back. Now notice, you're not just getting the same amount back. You're getting pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap back. For example, many of you will know that I announced at like our Christmas Eve services that we were going to do a gift to do these projects in Ghana of clean water wells and Bibles and discipleship. And it's going to cost $150,000, and we were going to do that, and we're going to write the check and give it away. And I said, look, we already have the money because of your generosity. Isn't it curious that we make that announcement, I don't actually try to raise any of the money, and then our giving in December is over three times the amount that we gave away as a church. Over three times the amount of an increase. So we write a check for $150,000 and $500,000 comes back in, to the point that my bookkeeper was like, the bookkeeper for the church was like, hey, that account that we drained in order to send that check, well, just so you know, we just filled it back up triple fold. Do you see how God is at work? I mean, it's like we couldn't even get the check out the door, and God was turning it right back around through your faith and your generosity. We're seeing that in our communal efforts. I want you to know it in your individual heart. The Bible explains this generosity cycle in greater depth in 2 Corinthians 9, using explicitly the metaphor of sowing and reaping. To sow means to plant or to put a seed in the ground. Reaping obviously means to reap a harvest. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and on, it says this, the point is this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up in your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, in context, this is important for us to understand, this whole passage is about an offering. It's not talking about a tithe, it's talking about an offering, which is really important distinction to understand. Because otherwise what happens is sometimes we can be tempted to take this passage out of context and wrongly apply it to tithing by thinking, well, God doesn't want me to give reluctantly or under compulsion, so I won't tithe because I don't feel cheerful when I tithe. I feel grumpy, I feel anxious, I feel depressed, I feel like somebody's pulling a scam on me. Like these are the, I don't feel cheerful. But then remember what we just read, when it comes to the tithe, what God says is it's actually a command. God says, if you're not tithing, you're cheating and robbing me. When it comes beyond the tithe, which is what an offering is, God says, it's a choice. Make up your mind. Don't be reluctant or under compulsion, but be cheerful or be glad about it. The passage continues in verse 8 and says, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad and he gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now, I hesitate sometimes to tell my own giving stories because I don't want to come across like I'm tooting my own horn or that I give in order for you all to know that I give. But the kind of other side of the story here is that I also want you to understand that I'm not just teaching you all this while I'm not doing it. I'm doing this as well. At the beginning of 2021, I sensed God inviting Allison and I to increase our giving. Now, we've already tithe on our gross. We already give offerings beyond that. But I just sense God saying to me, you can grow more. And honestly, there was a little bit of a like gulp factor because my oldest son is a senior in high school. And I'm like, okay, God, but just so you know, we got like college tuition bills coming down the pipeline here pretty soon. Like, shouldn't I be saving more? Shouldn't your message be, you can save more? Isn't that what you're really intending to communicate to me right now? You can grow, you can give more. Now, I've done this long enough that I'm like, okay, this is an opportunity. As one of my friends says, and I've said before, what a wonderful opportunity to trust God. Okay, God. So I talked to Allison, we are in agreement, and we up our giving. Nothing dramatic happens. Just every time we received income, we gave a higher percentage back to God than we did previously. And then after about 10 or 11 months of this, we ended up receiving an unexpected amount of money that I did the math. It was a little bit more, than 10 times the amount that we had increased our giving for the entire year. Like, I hadn't even expected that was going to happen. And once again, I saw God make good on his word that we just read. Not only does he give us bread for food, but he multiplies our seed for sowing too. And so literally, as that those finances came our way, Allison and I are like, all right, well, now what does God want us to do? Who does he want us now? How does he want us now to bless and be part in a greater way of generosity? Now listen, when I think of generosity, I always think of it through the three P's. First, it needs to be a priority. We give first to God, not last. We don't pay all our other bills and then give God whatever's left over. If I was inviting God over to my house, I wouldn't say, what do we have in the refrigerator that are leftovers from last night's dinner? We'll just warm those up and give those to God. No, I would say, we're making a special meal. We're giving him our very best, right? And so we want to make it a priority. Scripture says that we're to give first. We're to give our first fruits. It's to be the first 10%. What I've seen in my own life is that if you give the first 10%, you're going to be able to make it work on the other 90%. If you say, oh, no, I'm going to wait, I'm going to do it at the end, your lifestyle will expand to consume the whole 100%. So make it a priority. The second thing I would say is make it a percentage, right? Starts with 10%, and you can choose to grow your percentage from there, but make it a percentage, because that's what we see in Scripture. So priority, percentage, and lastly, planned. We plan to do what matters to us. So have a plan of how and when you will give, right? So for me, I have a plan of how that's going to happen, and whether I feel excited or not excited, whether I had a good day or didn't have a good day, doesn't matter. I have a plan that I'm sowing this in as an act of obedience and generosity, trusting God's goodness. God's design of giving is not that you give so you end up poor and everybody else ends up rich. That's not the design of giving, as we just read. He wants you to have enough of everything you need and seed to sow, as we just read. And when we sow money through our giving, it says that we can increase the harvest of righteousness. Now, how do you increase your harvest of righteousness? Because when you give financially, you are sharing in the ministry that is happening. You might not be physically present while it's happening, but you're sharing in it. Like, we're not all physically going to get on a plane and fly to Ghana and drill boreholes to find water, but we're sharing in that ministry that is happening, right? The passage continues in verse 11. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce a thanksgiving to God through us, for the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Now, for all of you who give back to God through CA, whether you're here physically, whether you're online, I just want to say to you, I am so grateful for you. And I want to say, well done. Now, Allison and I give back to God through CA as well. And so all of our combined giving, right? So Allison and I are just one little family doing our part, and all of you individuals and families are doing your part. All of our combined giving empowers every single ministry that we do here at the church, as well as in the neighborhood, as well as in the city, as well as in the globe around us. Everything we do, every single thing we do is empowered by every single penny you give and I give back to God through our tithes and offerings. So then what that means is this year, as with every year, we will do as much ministry as our faith and trust in God empowers. And the choice is really before each one of us. If we all grow in generosity, we'll do even more, not only in the life of our church as we minister to the congregation as a whole, but also into the city and the globe around us to lead the spiritually convinced and unconvinced to complete commitment to Christ. But if we all shrink back in generosity, the reality is we'll do less. The ministry we do will be in proportion to the faith that we have expressed through the generosity of what we give. Let's make this year a year where every single person who calls Christian Assembly home grows in this area. And we're able to do this because God empowers us to do it, as he just said. We get to participate. We who are being shaped and formed into the image of Christ are given by God the ability to be generous so that we can offer this service to the glory of our King. A number of years ago, we ran what I called back then a money-back tithe challenge. Does anybody remember when we did this? Some of you are nodding your heads, yes. In fact, we're going to do it again. And I'm going to walk you through all the details, but I want you to hear from a couple that I'm going to bring up in a moment who did this the last time that we did it. Now, I want to tell you a little story first before I bring them up. This fall, I was wondering, like, God, do you want us to do another money back tithe challenge? It's been about 3 years since we've done one. I was standing out in the lobby and I was thinking it, greeting people, but I was like, I'm just like, should I do that in January? Is that what you want? And a guy comes up to me and he says, Tom, I have something I need to tell you. And normally when people say that, they're talking about something that happened that week. And he said, about 2 to 3 years ago, you ran a money back tithe challenge. My wife and I participated in it and it changed my life. Now, he didn't even know that I was thinking about that, but the moment he said that to me, I'm like, check, God, you want me to do this in January? So I said to him, hey, Justin, would you be willing to tell your story, and would Elle be willing to tell her story? And they both graciously agreed to come and do that. So could you welcome Justin and Elle Wachowski as they come? Grateful for both of you guys. Justin and Elle have been a longtime part of our church family. So Justin, let me just start with you. A few months ago, I just told the story. I was praying about, should we do this or not? I didn't tell you that. You didn't know that or anything like that. And you randomly mentioned how the last time we did it, it really changed your life. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. This is a lot more intimidating looking this way. honestly, that was a kind of a moment I just wanted to share with you. You've walked through so many hardships, you know, in Elle and I's life. It was a moment I just felt compelled. I got to tell you and share with you sort of the joy we were having at that time. I just got a raise at work. You had mentioned, I think, in teaching that day, joy. And it clicked to me that I hadn't shared with you the joy that Elle and I had really experienced practicing the discipline of tithing. You know, I had grown up in the church. I'd been a Christian my entire life. If an atheist came up to me off the street and said, why would you ever tithe? I literally could tell them why it was a good thing to do. I understood the science behind it, the reason behind it. I just never experienced and the discipline of it. I never tried. To me, I had always given emotionally, as in, like, if you happen to hit it out of the park with a teaching and I happen to have less than $20 in my pocket, that was a good day I'd give, right? And you're a great speaker, the staff here is a great speakers, but you know, no one bats 100, right? So
remember, you're here to encourage them about how God was at work in your life through the money back tithe challenge.
So
You're not batting 100, buddy. Come on.
So 3 years, 3 years ago was one of the hardest periods Elle and I had ever experienced financially. Mm. I had lost my job. We had lost our you know, all our clients. We went for a stretch for almost
a year and a half,
you know,
without a paycheck,
to the point where we had drained our savings. We got down to pennies, literal pennies. And many, by the way, of the people in this very room and in almost every service that we'll probably speak at this weekend, anonymously would send us, you know, envelopes. That was how hard that time was. So I will forever be grateful to people in this very room who I don't even know you probably helped us through that time, So during that time where you were speaking about this money back guarantee, you gave incredible analogies at that time. One of them with your kids going into a theater where you bought them, you know, treats of candy, went to give them all their boxes and then wanted, you know, one or two pieces from each. And they kind of complained that you were doing that, which as a father totally hits home for me. I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's great. And then you said, you kind of followed that analogy up with the idea that if, like most people tell you that if I had more money, I'd give more faithfully. Those were, I'm pretty sure, like your exact words. And you stopped and you like, you looked, and I swear you looked straight at me. I'm pretty sure you pointed. You said, no, if you had more faith, you'd give more faithfully. Mm-hmm. And this is a time we had nothing, not a penny. Every day we had the conversation of, do we pack up and leave? Do we, you know, fold? And so, you know, a lot of discussion between us, but we decided, okay, this is something, you know, we've been praying about a job and opportunity and money. We don't have anything, but let's take this challenge. The challenge seemed insane to me, by the way. I didn't think this was something that, you know, it was like, okay, sure. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I'm sure you're going to explain it later. But yeah, so we took it. We said, we're going to do it. We'll give what we can, when we can, if we ever get the chance to. And we started. And, you know, if I do a job, you know, even something for $100, anything, you know, help a friend out, you know, we literally said we committed to this. We will tithe whatever that money was. Mm-hmm. And we started practicing that discipline. And just like all disciplines, it was hard at first, you know, you fumble or whatnot. But we stayed the course and we said, no, we actually believe, you know, that this is where we are called to do. And there was joy in every blessing that came after that time. Within, I think, 2 weeks of accepting the challenge, I finally got a job. Mm. Thank God. Since then, if I were to draw a line of what we could give previously and where we could give now, it would literally be an exponential line because I have been promoted. I'm now an officer of the company. I literally, you could see our financial gains, I guess, if you will, or blessings change.
That's awesome.
By the fact that we completely decided to live off that daily bread and say, this was yours in the first place, kind of like the candy scenario. That
Justin, one of the things I love about your story is not only did you get a job, but you got a job that you're excited about. It was kind of your dream
job,
right?
Yeah,
so it was not only was it increased pay, but it was something you're excited for. Now, let's turn to you. I know that this also impacted you as well. So how so? How did it impact you?
Yeah, so I also grew up in the church, and I also came from a family of generous tithers. And I also am very embarrassed to say that, you know, grew up in a family and we weren't tithers, not even 5%. Like, it was, like Justin said, the basket would come around. It's like, oh, I have $5. You know, like, that'll work. But we weren't tithers. And when we decided to do the challenge, she didn't have a job. And then, lo and behold, it's like, oh, now we have a job. What if we start fresh and we start giving?
Yeah.
And in our family, I actually am the one that manages the finances. I pay the bills. I do, you know, I set the budget. And it's one thing to say, I'm going to give 10%. It's another thing to sit in front of your computer and input a very big number that I have never given before, paycheck after paycheck after paycheck. And it was hard. It was hard at first to press submit and just be like, okay, God, I hope we can eat this week. But you know what? We kept eating. Like, he kept providing. He is the great provider. the last encouragement that I would want to give and to share everyone, if our story resonates with you, or if you're on the fence, or if you're unsure if you can give or if you want to give, like, what I would say to you is that I just take the leap of faith. Like, try it. Put me to the test, like it says in God's word. Because I believe that he is the great provider, and he wants to give you abundance. And I believe that he is going to bless not only your finances, which I totally believe, but he's going to bless your faith in him, your trust in him, and your joy. Tithing for us became not a get to, but a have to, like my good friend says. And, or sorry, not a, not it's not a have to. It's a get to, and we get excited and we get that joy, because especially when you share about these things that the church is doing, I'm a part of that.
You're part
and
of that.
Justin's a part of that, and you all get to be a part of that with us. And isn't that such a joy of being in a community of faith that we get to do this together?
Would you thank Justin and Elle for sharing their story? Thank you guys. I do want to thank you. It takes a lot of courage to get up here and share your story and just be vulnerable. And so I thank you for doing that. I believe most Christians that I've ever met who know what the scriptures teach on this, they want to tithe. You want to tithe. Or maybe you even want to grow in giving offerings or beyond. But usually the thing that holds us back is we're afraid. And so whether you are in person, whether you are online, we want to help you overcome this fear, like God did for Justin and Elle. So we're going to run a 3-month money-back tithe challenge, and let me explain to you how this will all work. The first thing, if you want to participate, is you'll need to register for the money-back tithe challenge. If you're in person, you received a card on the way in, which is the way that you can register. You just fill out your information there and drop it in the buckets whenever you exit. If you are online, you can register via our website, cachurch.com/moneyback, and you will be registered to participate in this challenge. The deadline to register is by the end of this month, end of January. Then the challenge is going to run 3 months. It's going to run February, March, and April of 2022. And during those 3 months, just give 10% of your income back to God. You can decide if you want to do gross or net. It's up to you. Figure that out. But you must give the money in a way that is identifiable. So that would include checks, website, the app. You can donate appreciated stocks. Cash offerings must be in an envelope with your name and address on it so we can identify that it came from you, right? You can't come and be like, you know, I dropped rolls of $100 bills in, but it was unmarked cash. Can I have it all back? No, we need to know that it comes from you, right? And why are we doing this? Because God says, try it. And so we're going to try it for 3 full months. Why 3 months? Well, God doesn't promise the blessing will come within 3 months. So I picked a time that was long enough that I thought would require some faith and discipline, but short enough that you might be willing to try it. So you register, you begin to tithe, give 10% back to God through CA, and then pray and watch God, watch for God's blessing over your life during the 3 months. At the end of the challenge, if you want the money back, you can just email and you can ask for it back, and we'll give you all the money that you gave during the 3-month challenge. We'll give it all back to you, no questions asked. And so the worst that's going to happen is you're going to have a 3-month savings plan that you'll get all the money back at the end of the 3 months. The best that will happen is that you'll see God at work in your life in maybe a way that you've always wanted to see but haven't had the fear. You've had the fear that's held you back. Now, you have to be registered. And like I've said, this challenge runs February, March, and April. And then you'll have the entire month of May in order for you to ask for the money back. Once May of 2022 is over, we'll close the books on the challenge. Now, when you register, I want to encourage you to include your email. Here's why. I've written 13 short devotionals from God's Word, including testimonies from people in the life of our church from the last times we've done this, that we will email to you as an encouragement. They'll help you go deeper into God's Word on this topic and build your faith up through this challenge. The last time we did it, many of you who signed up, we had over 300 people last time do it, said the devotions, so built them up bit by bit. So those emails are going to start going out the very first week of February. January. So check your spam folders. You'll receive them from the email account challenge@chchurch.com. So put your email on the card there or online. In addition, we're also going to be launching Financial Peace University. Whether you do the Money Back Tithe Challenge or not, we also want to encourage you to take Financial Peace University if you've never done so. Or if you just kind of feel like my financial house is not in order, I want to encourage you to get it in order. This round of the class, Financial Peace, is going to start Thursday, February 3rd at 7 p.m. It runs for 9 weeks. You can register at our website, cachurch.com/FPU. It stands for Financial Peace University. The last time we ran this class, we actually polled the class at the end of it, and we asked them to tell us about the impact of the class. The last time we ran Financial Peace University here at this church, so these are not national statistics, these are from people in our congregation, the last time we ran it, the average participant paid off $6,489 in debt during the 9 weeks of the class, which is unbelievable. They saved an additional $1,955 towards their emergency fund. And on average, they paid off or closed 2 credit cards to close out their consumer credit card debt. Those are from people that are just part of our church. So I want to encourage you to make the time to do the Financial Peace class. Will you pray with me? So what's the call to action here? There's 4 of them. The first is this. If you're not giving 10% back to God and you're a Christian, I want to encourage you to register and do the Money Back Tithe Challenge. In fact, if you're present in the room, go ahead and just begin to fill that card out right now, and you'll drop it off in the buckets. For those of you online, you can do it via the online. Maybe some of you are thinking, well, maybe Tom's just thinking this because he wants to eat hamburger instead of steak. Let me help you. Let me call your bluff. If you're thinking that, I encourage you to tithe 10% back to God through another church. They're probably not going to give you the money back in the future, but if you kind of think, oh, this is just because the staff wants more money, you're missing our heart on it. I teach my kids to do this. And so I encourage you, if that's you, tithe to another church and see what God might do. Others of you, what God's call to action for you is you need to get your financial house in order. I want to encourage you to take the Financial Peace University class. So many of you have done that already, and you have testimony after testimony of how it's helped you. Others of you, you're already tithing, and I just want you to hear from God, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Everything we're doing is because of our generosity back to God to others, together. And maybe others of you, you might feel like I've felt the start of this year. Yeah, I was tithing and I was giving offerings, but I just felt God say to me, I have more for you and I want you to grow in this area even more. And if that's you, just between you and God, just ask God to help you grow. You're already tithing, you're already giving, but you want to grow more. Just ask him, God, would you help me grow? So God, now I pray over the life of our church. God, you have made these people so generous. I mean, we're coming off the heels of the most generous year we've ever had in 114 years. And yet I know that there's even more that we can do and more that you want to do in us as we step into 2022. God, you're so generous, we can trust you. We will reap what we sow, including in the areas of finances and generosity. God, help us to decide to sow generously. And then give us eyes to see your abundant generosity back to us, as Jesus says, that we might see a good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, be poured into our lap. God, I pray, just like you did for Justin and Elle, would you begin some fresh testimonies in the life of our church that in a year or two they'll look back, in 2 or 3 months they'll look back and say, you know, I was afraid, but I trusted, and look at what God has done. We thank you, God, for your abundant generosity. In Jesus' name, amen.